Hi, Annie, how are you doing? Okay, Baruch Hashem. Scheinberg? Yeah, right? How did you watch things? No, those were two Rebbeim and Ursameach. Maybe they learned for your Steinberg, but that's Becher and Newman. Becher and Newman. Rabbi Mordechai Becher, and I think Rabbi Mordechai Newman. It's called After the Return. They wrote it together, yeah. Becher, Becher, and Newman. Okay. Yeah. 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 Okay. I have a Arla Golish here now. Mm-hmm. And then somebody else has to meet with me at 9:30. Okay. I'm doing Arla Gola now, and then someone's meeting with me at 9:30. All right, then. So we stopped an abortion. It was good. I told you that story a few weeks ago. I was contacted by an organization, and the woman has this abusive frum boyfriend who keeps on getting her pregnant and keeps on saying she has to have an abortion or he'll commit suicide. Obviously, he's an emotional abuser. I mean, he keeps on saying he's going to kill himself if they have a kid because it's embarrassing for him. But he keeps on, making her pregnant. Yeah. No, but she's pregnant now. It wasn't a question of birth control pills. This is whatever they talked to her, and she didn't listen. But I just got news that hopefully, she went into two abortion clinics to get an abortion, and she just went out. Hopefully, she said no. She said she wasn't going to do it. Right. I don't know if he took her or she went herself, but. Right. I know. She knew the names. I know. Okay, all right. Okay. All right, I have to go to the funeral. Okay. Bye-bye. Take care. After the return. Yeah. Becher. Becher. Yeah, this hopefully will be our last share on Ishus, but there's something that you have to tell you. The the biggest organization of modern Orthodox rabbis in the world, in the United States, is the RCA, the Rabbinical Council of America. And they're debating, you know, they have a listserv and they keep on exchanging messages and pilpulim. And they're going crazy. The thing they're going crazy about right now is the ordination of women. You know, Maharat, they're called Maharats, the whole issue in America, and in Eretz Yisrael too, about women getting smicha. Sometimes they're called rabbis, sometimes they're called rabba, sometimes they're called Maharats. Actually, Maharat sounds really impressive. Really, Maharat sounds more chashuv than Madricha. Like Maharat. It's Madricha Hilchatit. One second, Maharat. Rabbaner. Yeah, I mean, to me it sounds real. Maharat, I mean, I'd like to be Maharat. I mean, it's a very chashuv title. But they're going crazy over that. But the second issue that they say, which is Aliba Diemis, may be more important, is a whole issue that a recent group of rabbis in America, Israel, but some American as well, started an international based in Tamatra Agunas. This is Rav Simcha Kraus, who actually teaches in a yeshiva in Katzman. He was an American rabbi for many years, and he's doing some stuff with, again, you know, Bederek Klal, he's a good person, I'm not disparaging him, but he's doing some stuff that Paiskim have said is very, very unacceptable and not proper, and mockering Eitzish through questionable means. So you need to be aware of some of the stuff I'm going to talk about today. Last week,
Is there any halachic, smicha nowadays? Is there any? It's just a piece of paper, basically.
It is just a piece of paper, but that's what you need to be a rabbi of a shul. So is the concept that, you know, a woman is going to be a rabbi of a shul? That's practical. Young Israel of so and so, Rabbi Soros, whatever. You know, it's a little bit.
Why can't a woman be a rabbi of a shul?
Well, you know, it is a good question. Meaning to say, it's not so pushed. If you ask yourself, where does it say in the Shulchan Aruch? Now, there are many things a woman cannot do al pidin. A woman cannot be an aide al pidin. A woman cannot be a chazan al pidin because of the dinim, at least with men there, because of kol isha. Can a woman paskin shailas? Chayrit's brought down that a woman that's a baki in halacha is able to paskin isher beheter. And in fact, it's brought down in the hakdama to the prisha on the tour, there's a little bit of a hespit about their mother. It's the sons of the priest who wrote the Akdam, and they talked about their mother, the priest's wife, that she was a big mulumedes and a big, very, very learned woman, and people used to ask her shilas and the like. What about
can paskin isher behetra?
She can paskin isher behetra. Now, can she be a dayan in dine mamonis of a pashtus not? But Taisus asked the kasha in Gittin that Devira was a shefetes, which is mashma in dine mamonis as well. Some say it was hayra shah. Some say if both bali dinim are makabel.
Why shouldn't she be able to?
No, because we have a general rule that only a kasher liedis is kasher ladon. So a woman is not kasher liedis, she's not kasher ladon. Devira is.
I see a learning Torah with them is tiflis, and how can you?
Well, on the other hand, all right. So that's going to be the question, because the issue of the truth is the preacher goes to shitasa. You know, the preacher learns that the preacher says that the issue is to be malamet Torah shabal peh. The issue is not for a woman to learn. Meaning to say the following: since, as the Rambam says, raiv noshim. Rav Noshin, Ein Daitan Mechuvanais Lilmait. So it is wrong for a parent to tell his 10-year-old daughter, you got to do Gemara. But the Prisha says, if a woman is older and she on her own desires to learn, and it's L'shem Shemayim, it's not for a political statement. So the Prisha said that neither the Gemara nor the Rambam ever assert a woman mitzad atzma to want to learn Torah Shebal Peh. And if she makes the decision, as opposed to her father pushing her, I'm allowed to teach her, you know, within the Gedarim of Tzniyas. That's what he says. He says, there is no iser for a woman to learn Gemara, and there's no issur for me to teach a woman Gemara, or my wife, or whatever it is. The only issur is on a parent to make it a compulsory chelek of the curriculum for a girl, because bederach klal, it's not what the girl is nighted to. Now, not everybody's maskim to the preacher, avada, and within the yeshiva world, bederach klal, we don't go in that direction. But certainly there is a makor. Now, the issue would become, therefore, if a woman mitzad herself is permitted to learn Torah Shabbat Peh, then that wouldn't stop her from being ma'ayin and halacha. But still, you know.
I know the people, huh? They ask you, why can't the woman be a rabbi? Discrimination,
why can't men have babies? I mean, you know, there is discrimination in the world. I mean, the idea is that we believe separate but equal is a true construct, meaning to say, men and women are equal in Hashem's eyes. Men and women are equally chashuv, they're equally beloved. Men are not better than women, b'etzem, and indeed there's some makaris that women are better than men. You know, okay, I don't want to get into that, because that just reverses the discrimination argument. But the pshat is, the chashivas of men and women doesn't mean that they have to be the same and they should be the same. If anything, feminism is a big bizayon to a woman, because it tells a woman, your value in life is the degree that you can do what a man does. If you can't do what a man does, you have no chashivas. That's a big insult. That's telling a woman that, hey, you know, mitzad your tafkid, it's nothing. So the emphasis is, if we understood properly, and men have to take muster too, because if women feel discriminated against, part of it is because men are not machshiv what their wives do in the world. But if we understood the union of Akeres Abayas, the union of the Yesed Abayas, then we would understand that the women are... I think it was Rav Shach himself. Somebody asked Rav Shach, I don't know why they asked Rav Shach these questions, like, who do you think was the greatest Marbitz Torah of the, let's say, the 20th century, right? the whole century? Who was the greatest Marbitz Torah, the most responsible for Harbatzas Torah? So he said, Sarah Schneer. Was because he says, if there wouldn't be women who were machshiv Torah, who wanted their husbands to learn, there wouldn't be B'nai Torah at all. There wouldn't be B'nai Torah. There wouldn't be yeshivas. There wouldn't be kedalim. So he says, the whole Torah of Klal Yisrael is because of the women who give encouragement and chizuk, as the Gemara says in Brachas, nashim b'may zachian, by encouraging their husbands and their children to learn. The pshat is that even in our ruchnias, we're influenced by material ideas, that your chashivas is what you do, your chashivas is how famous you are, your chashia, and we take that and we apply it to the Torah world. You know, you got to be the Rav, you got to be the Darshan, you got to be the Magid Shir, and we're not machshiv the Hatznei Aleches that people do. So all of us, you can, as firm as a person might be, we are really poisoned by westernized ideas. Now, this is very difficult. This is a difficult question. This wasn't my topic tonight, and I'm not going to talk about it tonight so much, but a little bit is kedai. Because when people ask you, the tendency in modern communities today, I mean modern Orthodox communities, is you got to show them an isser in the Shulchan Aruch. Everything is mutter unless you can show them a se'if in the Shulchan Aruch that says this is usser, and then maybe they'll accept it, maybe not. There's no guarantee. Meaning, if you can't show them a halacha that says it's usser, then for sure they're not going to be makabel. If you show them, maybe they will, maybe they won't. But the emes is, the idea of das Torah is an idea that's very, very hard for people to be makabel, and that is, you know, gedolim have a shikol hadas, that even if something is not technically forbidden, it is something that could be machriv am Yisrael. Now, what modern people say is, that's a political judgment. You know, if the Rav can tell me, or the Posek can tell me, it's in the Shulchan Aruch, all right, he's an expert in that, like a plumber. A plumber knows how to fix air conditioning, or whatever. In other words, they look at a Posek as somebody who simply knows a certain body of knowledge. No. So if he points to the Shulchan Aruch, that's okay. He knows that. But if he's making judgments about the long-term future of Am Yisrael, I'm as good as him. That's the idea. The fact that Rav Moshe Feinstein, or Shlomo Zalman, or Rav Yashiv, or Chaim Pinesky, whoever it is, if they're not giving you something that's, you know, has a definite halacha, that's their opinion. Why is their opinion better than my opinion or anyone's opinion? And that's a very hard, that is a very, very hard raya to communicate to a person who's not very, very committed. But on the other hand, it is real, real emes, that the idea of why we have Gedolei Torah in the world is that even when things are not so befeirish, there are shikulim, there are judgments, what will be good for Am Yisrael, what will not be good. And the truth of the matter is, the what's called in ethics the slippery slope, you know, it's an expression, you know, you start here and you slide down there. Okay, it's not always a terrorist to say we can't do this like Gezeira, but the emes is this is very, very true, because the thing you see is you monitor this, then they'll say, well, if a woman can be a posek, why can't she be a rav? If she can be a rav, why can't she be a chazan? If she be a chazan, you're telling me she can't sign a ksuba? Every little thing says, what's the nafkamina between this and this? And you're a London, so you can give a nafkamina. But the Hamonam sees these things. They don't see differences in these roles. You mean she could be the rabbi of a shul and she can't sign a ksuba? That doesn't make sense to me. So you get into a real, real difficult problem. And I will tell you this. I'm digressing a little bit, but again, this is all kitai, because this, the truth is, these are issues. These are real issues you're going to face, mamish, whether it's college campus or a bunch. You know, I'm not sure about my status this week, but I was the posek, whatever, the rabbinical authority of a modern Orthodox day school in Silver Spring, the Hebrew Academy of Greater Washington. Okay, and you know, they ask me shilas here and there, and I give them answers here and there. So the principal, it's a modern Orthodox school, it's a co-ed school. They have some Haredi B'nai Torah teachers, they have some modern Orthodox teachers. It's a mix of different teachers. Okay, as co-ed schools go, you know, it's okay. So the thing is that the principal, who's been there for a few years now, after I met Aliyah, the principal is really, people tell me, I hear from Nachariah Parkett, his wife is putting pressure on him. He keeps on bringing up this idea that he wants there to be a women's Kriyas HaTorah and a women's minyan. Because after all, he says, the synagogues from which they get most of their kids have those minyanim. So how can the school be frummer than the shuls from which they get the kids? So I said, well, you know, what's wrong with being an example? What's wrong with, you know, having a standard? And then I used a fallback position that we always use, and that is, a school should try to appeal to the broadest group of frum people that it can. So if the pshat is, it's like kosher, you know, that's what they say. At a reform event, they ought to serve kashrus. Why? Because if they serve kosher, everybody can go. If they serve treif, then not everybody can go, right? A reform person is allowed to eat treif. I'm sorry, a reform person is allowed to eat kosher, a kosher person is not allowed to eat treif, right? So I said, give something that everybody can participate in. Don't do things that... So anyway, but he finally tells me, well, you know, it's a bizoyon that we can't, you know, do what everybody's doing, etc. So
is
I said,
a women's only minion?
A women's only minion. A women's only, yeah, it's not mixed. Ad kadei kach, at least he's going there. So, so he suggested kind of, well, you know, maybe we should, you know, maybe it'd be better if you wouldn't be the postic of the school. We would ask you all our shilas, if to those that we listen to. But, you know, that way your name doesn't have to be associated with something you're uncomfortable doing.
He's suggesting you should go over.
Yeah, he's basically suggesting that I resign. Okay, which I did. But so then he sends me later a shayla about Shini Makam for chewing gum. And I said, he's willing to ask me all of those things. Brachas. So the day after he fires me, he says, well, Shine Mucker, me chewing gum. All right, those things, you know, he's happy to be Makabal of Saka. And a women's minion, he just would not be Makabal, you know, anything like that. So there's a tremendous, tremendous pressure. You don't realize now. I mean, Chovei Torah, which is, I don't want to go into all the history, but Chovei Torah is a very, very modern, progressive, left-wing, I mean, very far to the left of YU. I mean, YU is not, YU is like Lakewood. YU to Chovei Torah is like Lakewood to YU, or maybe even more so. And Chovei Torah is spreading. It's spreading. They have like 80 rabbis out there, and every rabbi will hire a woman as his assistant rabbi. And the goal is eventually to put them in. So the pressure is going to be great, because even the shuls that aren't Chovei shuls are start asking, oh, if these shuls have it, why can't we have it? And the like. So you're going to face a lot of this. Women dancing with Sifrei Torah and Simchas Torah, which again,
not a problem.
It actually is not a major problem. Meaning, but a lot of this is that because of the amaratzis of people, they're ma'arvev all sorts of inyanim. It's like they used to say when we had a space program in the U.S. You know, if you can send a man to the moon, why can't you cure cancer? It's not Haba Hatalia necessarily. You know, so people say, if a woman can dance with the Sefer Torah, why can't she be a Rosh Hashiva? So the problem that you're going to have is this. On one hand, there's no intrinsic inyan just to be a naysayer and say no. I mean, women have to feel important. They have to feel appreciated. There has to be opportunities. This was Sarish Ner's Chiddush, which the Chafetz Chaim was maskim to. That bizman hazeh, women have to have their intellectual horizons broadened, simply because we live in a world where they have higher education. If a woman went to college or whatever, a woman studied philosophy, how can you say, she's not allowed to study to the teichin of Yiddishkeit? So, just to say no bedavka, you don't bedavka say no. But on the other hand, you have to have a shikul adas as to how far you go without being pirates getter. It's very, very difficult. Now, what I did when I was a rabbi myself, I did something that, to me, seemed perfectly okay, but some people tied it on me for this. I got approached for many years about a group of women, because my shul was fairly modern, actually. My shul was not a yeshivish shul. I had some yeshivish people, and I had many modern people, and I had some people who were conservadox people. Meaning, barely Shomer Shabbos, and maybe a shtickle, not fully Shomer Shabbos. And there were people who you would call feminists, who wanted, feminist activities and the like. And I was not aggressive. I didn't make, thunderous speeches. I would kind of, nod and listen and then do what I wanted to do. Which is a good strategy, by the way. Just don't argue. Just listen and nod. And first of all, that's not just a fake, because the MS is if people feel that you're hearing them, that you understand their feelings, that takes away some of their shtup that they have to change things, because they're makir that at least you say, I hear what you're saying. That's a very important b'etzem. It's an important thing. But so I had a women that wanted to make a women's tefillah service. Now, what would that involve? They wouldn't say Kaddish. They wouldn't say Kedusha. Mechala pachas, they were doing that. But they wanted to say everything that you don't need a minyan for, with a women chazan, just for women. And then they want to make exceptions, maybe immediate family. They're already. And then they wanted to have a Kriya Satira. And their taina would be, we wouldn't have Olim. We would have seven women come up with aliyahs, but they wouldn't make Birchas Satira. Or they want to make a fake Birchas Satira, where we'll tell the women not to make Birchas Satira in the morning, and when they come, they can make Asher Bachar Banu, because that doesn't help them with Asher Nasan Manu, because we don't have that Nusach in Birchas Satira. A kind of a fake by deferring Birchas Satira. So I didn't allow that. But what I said they could do is Friday night, they could do a Kabbalah Shabbos. They could do just women only. They could do six Kapitlach of Tehillim, Lechun Aranana. They can do Lechad Dodi. And I even allowed them to do Ma'ariv without Kaddish. They do Ma'ariv. They daven Ma'ariv. So there was no, many women daven Ma'ariv anyway. Kabbalah Shabbos is Tehillim, Lechad Dodi is singing. As long as no men were there, it was not Kol Isha. So I thought that would be something that would give the women a sense that they have a service and the like. But some of the more firm people went over to me and said, you're staring shidduchim. We have daughters who want to marry Lakewood guys and the like, and they're going to hear that this show that they come from, has women's minyanim. So everything is a balance here. Everything is a balance. You're going to be pushed and pulled in many, many different directions. and maybe you'll make nobody happy. But your primary achrayus is not to make people happy. Your primary achrayus is to help people grow spiritually, but within the miskeres of a Messiah, of the Messiah. Is let them grow, be willing to innovate, but at the same time, to be faithful to the Messiah and not to be pirate scatter. Remember, Schiller always says that, what does he say? He says, you're allowed to do chiddush and you're not allowed to do shinoi. Meaning, chiddush, within the framework, be creative, be mechadesh, look for new ways of doing things. But you're not mishana, you're mechadesh. Just like in learning. Person's mechadesh. You take the yesaidis that are already in a sugya, and you combine them, and you see new things. But you're working with the yesaidis of a sugya, as opposed to simply inventing something new. Mibachot. But you know, this is easier said than done, because what one person might describe as chiddush, another person will describe as shinoi, right? So, in some ways, it's in the eye of the beholder. And when you're a rav or you're in college campus, you're a nogei avadover, because you need to make a program. Sometimes your money will depend. Somebody might say, I'll give you money, I'll give you $10,000 if you make a woman's Kriyas HaTorah service. You know, you have nisyanis. And that is why it is important that even if you are a rav, even if you are a posek, even if you know you're knowledgeable in halacha, that a rebbe has a rebbe. You need some deya that you can go to that's bigger than you at all levels. So that you can, number one, they know more, but number two, they're not nogei. It's a question of not having negias. That's also very important. It's not just the fact that they're bigger than you. Even if it's a chaver, that's not directly nogei of a davar, you sometimes need someone, mibachot. Yep.
One boy said to me, he doesn't like the way that they treat women in the yeshiva. They put them behind the partition, they have to peer through the cracks.
Yep. Well, the truth is, machitza. Okay, listen. The aesthetics of machitza is an issue. I mean, an ezras nashim should be attractive. It should be proper. It should enable women to see the davening. I remember the Boston Rebbe in Boston. I don't know what they have in Harnov, but when I was a student in Boston, they had a one-way glass. Very beautiful. The women, it was a one-way glass, meaning from the women's side, they could see everything into the men's section, and the men couldn't see into the women. It's like a one-way glass, the way they do that. That's very beautiful. I know the women upstairs, are revolting a little bit. They actually want to replace the mechitza with the one-way glass, so my wife tells me. And what did Rabbi Geffen say? Rabbi Geffen said somewhat facetiously, he says, we don't have the money just to replace the mechitza, but perhaps there could be an accident arranged where the mechitza gets, broken, somebody falls into it. And then, of course, we would have to consider the repairs. But putting aside the aesthetics of mechitza, which is a taina, it's a legitimate taina. But halacha doesn't say the mechitza has to be so narrow.
What does halacha say?
Okay, so again, I'm digressing a little time, but let me just mention the following. There's a fundamental machlokes between Rav Maisha and really everybody else. But most paiskim say that the tachlis of the mechitza is to be mineya re'ia, that men should not see women. Number one, if they're not dressed bitznias, then bichlal you're not allowed to daven kinegda. And number two, even if they are dressed bitznias, there is a takanas chachamim of mechitza because of hirhurim that may come bishas hatfila. So therefore, according to most paiskin, the ikur tachlis of a mechitza is to be mineya histaklus, that men should not be able to look at women during davening, even if they're in a levush sanua, because in a makam kaddish like a beis hakneses, a tefillah is not niskabel if there are hirhurim of arayas. Now Rav Maisha was machadesh, a different mahalach. Rav Maisha was machadesh that the purpose of a mechitza is not to be mineya histaklus. That's your achrayus. Just don't look. The purpose of a mechitza is to be mineya kalas reish, which comes from the ability to converse over the mechitza, to schmooze over the mechitza, and therefore Rav Maisha's chiddush, which is followed by very many American shuls, Rav Maisha's chiddush is that as long as the mechitza makes it difficult to interact, and that's why that's the basis of his share, that would be maspik even if you see a woman's head over the mechitza. So because of that, his chiddush was that, now nobody says the shir mechitza is 10 tefachim, that's not enough, even though for Hilchah Shabbos mechitza is 10 tefachim, that tak is not enough, although some shuls follow that, but there's no psak. But Rav Meisha's shita was a mechitza should be 54 inches. And he says 5'4", so even number one, that may be above many women, and if it's not, even if a woman is 5'8" or whatever it is, it's difficult to have a conversation at that height. And his chiddush was, therefore, that a mechitza does not have to be meineya histakus, it only has to be meineya what is called kalus reish.
The apostles most of the cases in the United Synagogue in England.
Oh, it's under 54 inches?
One of my shul, definitely, you could definitely have a conversation over it.
Okay, it is an issue. Now, Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik used to give Wayu Musmachim Heterim. Because you have to know, in the 1950s, many, many, even so-called Orthodox shuls may not have had a mechitza. Some of them had separate seating. There was a musa that men and women sat on separate aisles, but they didn't have a mechitza. So Rav Soloveitchik gave them as a Hiras Shah, he gave them a heter to be a Rav in a non-mechitza. In other words, the Rav should daven at home. He shouldn't daven in the minyan. He should daven be yechidus. But he could go to the minyan to give them drushes and help them grow. And he had a heter for up to 2 years to be a Rav in a non-mechitza minyan. On the Tanai, that if there's no mechitza after 2 years, the Rav has to go. Now, the truth is, that makes sense, because on one end, what is the Rav being Iger? If the Rav would be davening, he would be Iger, but he's not Iger. The only question is, he's misayeya them and doing something else here. So there are already alumnus that if the siyua will eventually bring them to a higher level, there would be heterim, similar to inviting people for Shabbatons who will drive, because if in the long run it'll bring people to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is such a musik that would be mutter. Now some Rabbanim took it very seriously. They actually left when there was no mechitza. Other Rabbanim were matzliach and they got a mechitza, and many other Rabbanim, once you have a job, it's very hard to leave a job, and they just stayed. Some of them remained Orthodox officially without a mechitza, and some just became conservative rabbis. To this day, it's almost like a dinosaur. The OU, within the OU, there are two or three shuls that are part of the OU that still don't have a mechitza. I mean, they're like the last ones. There were quite a lot. In the 50s and 60s, there were quite a lot that didn't have a mechitza. But there are two or three that are still left. They're kind of the dinosaurs. Not that there are dinosaurs, but they're the dinosaurs. And there's some movement to get them out, but whatever it is.
I grew up till I was about 12 years old in a shul like that that had separate seating on either side. There's no mechitza. Would one technically, let's say you're going back to visit parents or whatever, would you be allowed to daven there? Or even in the shul that my parents daven in nowadays, it's like, this is probably not the size that it's supposed to be.
So it depends. If the mechitza is pasul medina, then you're not allowed to daven there. You have to daven b'yechidus. But if it's a question of kibud avien, you would be allowed to go there, sit there, and learn or something like that. But you should not daven there. If b'diavad, it's a kosher mechitza, so no. So you could be
said. Is 5'4" or shorter than?
Well, Rav Meisha's shita was 5'4", 54 inches was b'diavad, but some say 15 tefachim. 15 tefachim. That's still not good. 10. Yes, some say. So there's a miyut that says 10 tefachim because that's a shear of a chiluk rishus. In other words, because mechitza b'chavot terakula, normally dinei mechitza are 10 tefachim, but Rav Meisha Tain is for this purpose, that doesn't make sense, because it's neither Mineya Kalus Reish nor it's Mineya Histaklus. But some do learn that the Iker Din of Mechitza is that it should be a Shinoi Rishus.
So Ten Shvachim would be a Mechitza. That's much shorter, let's say it's 4 feet. The woman on the back of the shul, the men is 4.
Yeah. So that's where theoretically Rav Moshe might turn out to be more chomer, because there's no histaklus problem while I'm davening, but there is a problem of kavas reish. I could just walk over to the back. Mm-hmm. Now, there is a whole shaila. I mean, it's hard to quantify this, because let's say you have a weekday based medrash, and there's not even an Ezra's Nashim. A weekday, and a woman, you know, shows up and starts davening. I mean, what are you supposed to do? So it's brought down really if a woman walks into a tefillah and it's bederech akroy, it's not bederech kvias, and it's not a thing that's normally done. So the halacha is that. You don't have to stop, meaning to say it's derech. A cleaning lady walks in, you know, it doesn't it's not mineya the tefillah. But if bederech kvias women show up, that is when Chazal were misakin b'chayves mechitza. It's similar to simchas beis ha-shoeva. Remember, what is the makar of mechitza? That when it was nikva that women would be mishtatef in the simchas beis ha-shoeva, there needed to be a hafrada, there needed to be a mechitza. And that's why we say that really any minyan, the Emma says any minyan, well, this example is a minyan kavua where it's not a kavias for women to come, but there's a swara that any minyan that's not kavua does not have a chayvas mechitza per se. So a beis avel, in a beis avel, they shouldn't daven b'taruvos, women and men, they shouldn't be b'taruvos, mamish. But if women are to the side, you may notice in a beis avel, okay, in Eretz Yisrael they're more strict on it, but in a beis avel you'll often have women very, very close to the men. But since it's not a minyan kavua, so there's no chayvas mechitza itself, you just have to be zoyer in histaklus b'derech klal. Histaklus, of course, you have to be zoyer in. Now the kaisel is the strangest thing. I don't go to the kaisel that much, because with all the big crowds, it's actually difficult to have kavana. But I was there once, Cholamayit Sukkos. It wasn't the Birchas Kayanim day, but you know, every day of Cholamayit, gigantic. And the crowds go all the way back. And I'm davening next to a Hasidish guy. And all of a sudden, I'm very shocked, like right next to me. Right next to me, because the women's, because this is past the, all the mechitzas. This is already, you know, all the way when there's no mechitza anymore. I mean, there are a bunch of women like davening, you know, 2 inches from me, 2 inches from him. It was mamish. It wasn't taruvus mamish, because at least it was side by side. But you know, I'm davening next to a woman. She's here and I'm here. I mean, you know,
this is by the
kaisel. But you understand what happened? The mechitza only goes so far, right? So when you have a gigantic crowd, so the crowd spills over towards the Jewish quarter.
Right.
So at that point, I don't know, maybe they enlarged the mechitza, but when I was there, at that point, you know, this Hasidish guy, this Toldos Aaron guy, is like davening right next to a woman who's not even dressed a bit sneeze. I mean, he's right next to her. Very, very, very strange.
The concept of segregation.
I want to say that a woman saying mechitza is an insult to them, no, a mechitza is an insult to a man. A mechitza is very, very insulting to me, because it basically says a man cannot daven in the proximity of a woman without having hirhurim, and therefore we have to keep the man away from either looking at women or being able to talk to women. That's very insulting. But that's what it says. A mechitza is not a bizayon to a woman. A mechitza is a bizayon to a man, because a man's yetzer hara is very, very strong, and therefore we need to separate ourselves from hirhurim and stimulation that can take us away from kavana and tefillah.
So this fellow said, it doesn't mean that we're animals, we're better than that, and because he can control himself.
Okay.
So he found it very insulting to men. Talking.
It is. It is very insulting to men. But you see already that that's a different argument. That's not a feminist argument. That's
a Hughes
whatever the term for a man's movement is.
What's the
masculinist argument. Yeah. Right. Which already makes it a different, a whole different mahalach. No, but the short answer is maybe your friend is a great, great tzaddik, but we have to make halachas based on the average person. And the average person may not be so. Now, again, if you think that's a shtus, I will tell you that there is educational research, secular educational research, nothing to do with Judaism, that says that boys and girls do better educationally in segregated high schools that are not co-ed. Why is that so? Because when boys are with girls, they're thinking about how do they impress the girls. And when girls are with boys, this is very interesting, this is actually very interesting. When girls are with boys, they don't want to be too smart. This is very interesting, because if they're too smart, the boys get threatened. So the girls have to act as if they're not as smart as the boys, even though they might be smarter. It's an opposite dynamic, that the girl wants to kind of be mavato herself. But the point is that both sides of the equation are thinking about how do they impress the other person. So this is a reality. This is a reality, you know. And the Torah is nothing but if not real. Meaning, you know, we like to say, you know, we're tzaddikim and this and that. No. Not always. On Yom Kippur itself, you know, on Yom Kippur, the Kriyas HaTorah of Yom Kippur morning is the Avodah of Yom Kippur. Okay, good. Kodesh HaKodashim. What is the Kriyas HaTorah of Yom Kippur Mincha? The Parsha of Arayas. Parsha of Arayas. I mean, I've reached the Madrega, I daven Shachris and Musaf and Kol Nidre, the Tshuva. So I have to hear about not being Mezaneh, not these are the worst. These are low life Averos. These are not Averos that a Baal Madrega is going to be Nichshalin. I have to hear about those Averos. The answer is yeah. The answer is Al Tamin Biatzpacha Ad Yay Mesecha. No matter how big a tzaddik we think we become, we can be nichshol in all sorts of things, and these harchakas are necessary. You know, I don't know if he'll buy it, but again, the one thing I think you need to tell him is that within these chiyuvim, there is certainly no inyan of it not being attractive. You know, that's just resources and the like. But there are, you know, there are still reasons for it.
Are we only visited for Yerudim on the Badavening?
So that's an interesting shayla. The interesting shayla is, you vadai need mechitza for tefillah. But the emphasis, the whole makor of mechitza didn't involve tefillah. Simchas Beis HaShayeva was not a prayer service per se. But some say like this. Some say, yeah, but it's mekusher to the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, right? And memela, only when you're doing things in the Beis HaKnesses that are connected to korbanos is there a chayva of mechitza, is there mekatra, which would mean that when it comes to divrei Torah and the like, there is no chiyuv of mechitza, but there should be hafrada. Meaning, if you're giving a shiur to men and women, sometimes shiurim are given to men, in America especially, they're given to men and women, it is still proper that there be separate seating. That's a separate inyan of not to be nisarev, but there would not be a chayvas mechitza. Now, when it comes to something like a chasna or a seuda, there you get into a very, very interesting thing. For a chasna, l'chatchila, we treat that as a chelek of tefillah. The brachos are recited, and one should have a mechitza. But some are sameh with hafrada. Now, when it comes to a seuda, we have a very, very interesting psak from the Levush. The Levush, going back, Levush is from the Gedalia Paiskim, that says that by a seuda me'ikir adin, there is no reason to, there's no chiyuv to separate men and women. Whether it's a Shabbos seuda, a chasna seuda, I mean, you know, just like in your house you wouldn't separate, so even a seuda gedola. And it was only usher to sit together because of hirhurim. So the Levush actually says, bizman hazeh, since we are more rugil benoshim, we interact with women more, bizman hazeh, there are less hirhurim, he says, and therefore he matirs mixed seating at weddings, mixed seating at weddings, not mixed dancing, Chas v'Shalom, although with your wife, the Emes says it's not so boring without, okay, but whatever it is, it's a priestess because it could lead to other things. So the Levush did matter, mixed seating at Chasnas. And the truth of the matter is, they were kama v'kama, they say, I don't want to say for sure, but they say, and I think they even say there are pictures about this, that Rav Moshe's children's chasnas in America, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's children's chasnas, they say there was mixed seating at the chasna. So this is the sheet of the Levush, that by Seudos Gedolos, you could be Yoshev Bitaruvos. And the Marshal was chaylik. In fact, the Marshal said the following. The Marshal said that when there is yeshiva b'taruvos at Seudos Gedolos, it is usher. And he says, you're not allowed to say hasimcha b'maynai in the benching at a chasna, because there's no simcha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when there's priestess. So that was the Marshal. In fact, this is the makor of the minhag that you see. It's interesting how it gets miskalkel. You know, you'll notice that when they say Sheva Brachos, so people will leave their tables and go closer to the chasen's table. So if you ask people, why are you doing it? Why are you moving? You're supposed to bench where you eat. So they'll say, well, we're moving to be able to hear. But that's not the makor of it. The makor why people move is that when people were sitting with Taruvas, following the Levush, they wanted to be Seimech on the Marshal, that to say Shasimcha B'maynei, you have to be Mavatal the Yeshiva B'Taruvas. Which is why it's very funny, because sometimes when the men move to the table, the women move to the table too. So Mimela, you've uprooted the whole purpose of the of the Hanhaga, huh? Yeah, yeah, well, that's right. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, that's for sure. Absolutely a problem.
Well, what, yeah. Did you say Bahab today? Because the Arayus and
Urim,
how is that or today?
I mean, listen, obviously it's still a problem, because even if you say we're Rago Benashim, the Bush is referring to the fact that we're Rago Benashim, that if there's Sanua, we don't have Urim. But obviously with what goes on today, things keep on getting worse. Well, Bahab Jed, I don't know, does it say Arayus? I think the Talmud just says is Kalus Reish, because of the Yomim Tovim, there was Kalus Reish. It's Lavdavka Arayus, just Kalus Reish, and the like. They give another reason, too, the change of season can get you sick. I have to say, you know, when I first heard that, the reason that most bring down is the Kalus Reish after the Moadim. But why Bahav, the Slichas of Bahav is Kalus Reish, so we ask for Kapara. But when I first heard the reason of change of climate, I said to myself, come on, that's not a good reason. But I got sick that week right afterwards. So you see, Taka, not to be mezalzel on Minhagei Yisrael, that even if you think a reason is not such a good reason, you know, the Eberster shows you, Taka can be a good reason. And the like. So the bottom line is that.
I'll
say again. So it's better to have. It's very better to have a mechitza. But b'diavad, since it's not a nusach of tefillah kavua, so b'diavad hafrada would be maspik, and for a shir also hafrada would be maspik for sure. Even the chatzchila we matcher hafrada, different sides of the room. Now the Chazanish was even mechadesh something more by a shir, and the Chazanish was mechadesh like this. There is halacha. Well, actually, I'm going to give you a whole shir on this, but the basic halacha you know already, that you're not allowed to recite brachos or learn Torah in front of a woman that is not dressed begidrei tznias. Now the Aruch HaShulchan was mechadesh kula that. That would not apply to a married woman whose hair is uncovered, because although technically the chayvas kisei arayish means she's not b'tzenua, but the Aruch HaShulchan says, since bizman hazeh, bavonoseinu harabim, so many married women do not cover their hair, so it's no longer gairim hirhurim. That was a famous leniency of the Aruch HaShulchan. Let me point out that many in the modern Orthodox community have totally perverted the Aruch HaShulchan, and they have said, the Aruch HaShulchan paskins, that married women do not have to cover their hair. That is absolutely sheker v'chazav, and it's mighty laws on really one of the Gedolei HaPaiskim. The Aruch HaShulchan says, of course there's a chiyuv to cover hair, and if a woman doesn't cover her hair, it's Baba Naisenu HaRabim. But the Aruch HaShulchan says you're allowed to say, learn and say brachos and say Devarim Shebekdusha. Good. But even the Aruch HaShulchan only matured uncovered hair. But Lamaisa, if a woman is wearing, you know, her arms are uncovered or whatever it is, then you cannot, unless you're Aitzamenav or turn away your face, or Gor B'dieved, if you're facing her, looking down in the sitter. So by the way, if you're a Masadr Kedushin, you have to be aware of this. Sometimes you're facing, all right, well, you might be facing the Kala, depending. The Kala might not be dressed properly. And even if the Kala is dressed properly, you might be staring at, you know, mother, you know. So you have to kind of look in your sitter. I mean, I wouldn't say turn your head away, that doesn't look very well, but within covered a breeze. So here's what the Chazon Ish was Mechadish. The Chazon Ish was Mechadish, really, you see how you need break to places, because how does a Pesach say such a thing? The Chazon Ish said, you are allowed to give a shiur to women who are not dressed b'levush sonua, because eis lasais lashem heferu torasecha. Bishlam, you see what the Chazon Ish said, Bishlam, when it comes to my davening, good, so I don't daven there. But how will they learn? They're not from yet, right? How will they learn if I don't teach them? Good, there are other teachers. Let's say, you know, whatever it is, the Rav or the Magid Shir has something special to offer. Are we supposed to say, now, if I sit there and I don't look at them or look in their direction, they're going to think I'm crazy. I sit there and I open up the sefer and I say, oh, they're going to think I'm crazy. They're not going to listen to me. So the Chazon Ish says, you look at them, again, I mean, we don't mean in a lewd way, but you look at them the way you would look at somebody in a conversation, and be mechaven l'shem shamayim, and even though it is usher midina de gemara to say words of Torah, keneged a levush she'ena tzanua, the Chazon Ish said, this is nichlal. I mean, only someone like the Chazon Ish could say this. It is nichlau in eis laseis lashem hezeru torasecha. This is the only way you bring people to HaKadosh Baruch. Now you see, this general type of reasoning is very dangerous in the wrong hands. I mean, you could say anything. You could say, you know, I'll drive to give a shir to people on Shabbat. Yeah. Obviously, just like the eis laseis lashem reviewed on Nasi, to write down Torah Shabbat. It took only the greatest God Gedolim of the generation. But this is interesting, that the Chazon Ish held, it was so important to be makariv women to Torah, that he matured teaching in front of women, b'levush saying.
Well, why is it not isn't that like an Avir Guerrero's mitzvah? I mean, it's not like a kanai, but like isn't that, like, maybe, is it, why don't we, because I've heard other people say, like, that's just, okay, if it's not your place for it, then that's Hashem's, there's nothing you can do, it's Hashem's, you have to let Hashem take care of it, so to speak. But how do you draw the line of where,
this is why you need a hachra, meaning to say, you know, listen, I wouldn't have been able to draw the line there, because once again, I want to repeat, the issue of teaching Torah to people who are not dressed sanua is a din in the Gemara itself. Maybe it's deraisa. Actually, it's not deraisa. Let me just be magdir this a little bit. You have to understand the deraisa is based on the pasuk lo yirebecha ervas davor, that you cannot say Devarim Shebekdusha keneged an erva. Now, the Doraisa of this is very limited. That's erva mamish. Erva mamish. Genitals that are exposed. Which means minatayra, just because a woman's arms are uncovered, or even her legs, that is not erva min hatayra. Okay? So Erevim and Atayra is very, very mitzumtzum. In fact, even Bezmanazan in the street, you know, you're not going to encounter Erevim and Atayra, usually. But the Rabbanan, all of those dinim, Tefach, Beisha, Erva, you know, all of those dinim, they're dinim to Rabbanan, but it is a din of the Gemara. So it could be.
It's huh? The Gemara there sounds like it's just saying they're defining the Erva. There's an Erva, there's no definition of Erva.
No, I understand. The Gemara's lesson is, yes, Sheikh Bishari. I understand. But Afilu Haki, the Paiskim say that this is called an Erva Midrabbanan. This is not the Erva, this is not the Din Erva Minatayra. That's what Pribagadim says. So it could be that the Eis Lasus Lashem, we have a certain Kula here because we are dealing with Isurei Drabbanan. And the Rabbanan could set aside. The other thing you need to know, just agav the agav, is that the Isser of Brachais, Tefillah, and Devorim Shebikdusha, number one, even apply to your wife, and even when she's Tahira. Make no mistake, that if your wife is in the house, and Meikar Adin, you know, she is permitted not to, I'm not saying it's a good thing to do, but Meikar Adin, a woman does not have to be dressed with Gidrei Tzinias if she's just with her husband in the house. Nevertheless, if she's not, the husband is not allowed to say Brachos or Devarim Shebikdusha. And if you hold like the Mishnah Berurah that we're Machmer and uncovered hair, the Gabi Dzvar, not like the Aruch HaShulchan, then if his wife's hair is uncovered in the house, which Meikar Adin is Mutter, but nevertheless, he's not allowed to say Devarim Shebikdusha. And this is not only if it's Ishto Nida, where she's an Erva, this is even if it's Ishto Tahora. So people have to realize that even with your own wife, and even when she's Tahora, there will be these halachas of Tzinias, Legabe Devarim Shebikdusha. But the Megel aspect of it is only Usher with Dibor, it is not Usher Behirur. So, for example, Rabbi Yashiv had a mudne psak. I mean, it's not mudne, but it sounds funny, although it's quite a logical psak, but it's very hard to implement. Somebody asked Rabbi Yashiv about, can a husband sing Zemiros with his wife? So Rabbi Yashiv held that Zemiros have a din of Tefillah and Devarim Shebikdusha, which Rosh Lomazaman was Chaylatan, but and therefore Rabbi Yashiv said that based on the din of Kol Isha Erva that says, see, this is the same thing. I can listen to my wife sing, but I can't daven when my wife is singing, because that din of Kol Isha applies, you know, even to my wife. So Rabbi Yashiv said, therefore, you can't sing Zemiros with your wife, because you're saying Devarim Shebikdusha Keneged the Erva of Kol Isha. But what you can do is, if your wife likes to sing, you can let her sing solo, and you can sit and learn, behear her, you can have a Gemara open, or a Chumash open, and as long as you don't say the words, you can learn, and she can serenade you, because you're not saying Devarim Shebikdusha, you are simply doing hear her, and that's going to be Mutter. Again, Rabbi Yashiv was very, very machmer in these years. Shlomo Zalman had a different mahalach, although it's harder to understand him. He argued that Zemiros did not have a din of Devarim Shebikdusha, and then he was also Samech on Trei Koli Lo Mishtame for that, and he does permit husband and wife singing, at least if she's Tahira. If she's Ishto Nida, maybe a different issue. So Lemaisa, I think, I'm not sure what that means. I can't say I know what the Minhag Ha'ilam is. I think the Minhag Ha'ilam, at least in a husband and wife setting, is to be, I won't poll you, but is to be makel on it, on the Shlomo Zalman. But Rabbi Yashiv was actually machmer. He said it was Devarim Shebikdusha Mamash. And I have to admit, as a matter of simple logic, I don't know why we would say it's not Devarim. I mean, if Devarim Shebikdusha includes any words of Torah, so, I mean, Zemiros have Psukim in them, Zemiros have Shem Hashem in them. I mean, it's hard to know why it wouldn't have the status of Devarim Shebikdusha, but this is what Rosh Lomo Zalman
is. That Mahalik's trait, because those who say Shem Hashem, because it is Tefillah, and then some don't say it's Shem Hashem in the Nikkud.
Yes, yes. Well, those that don't say, I think the Iker Chashash is that since in many Zemiros you repeat, so they don't want to say Shem Hashem because they're going to repeat Psukim, be Mapsukim, Psukim. People talk in the middle of Zemiros too, so it's not Kavod Hashem to either repeat or to to interrupt. Mi'ikar din is totally, but you know, when you learn Gemara, and the Gemara quotes a pasuk, it is absolutely, our minhag is not to, but it is absolutely mutter mi'ikar din to say the Shem Hashem. That's muskar in a pasuk that's mentioned in the Gemara, at least if you have the whole pasuk, and now the new Gemara is giving the whole pasuk, right? In other words, the Ozva Hadar, Shas on the side always gives you the whole pasuk, so now you can be Makayim. Mekayim that is.
Okay. The reason we don't do it because we're not
Kavanah
in the
shame,
or
we're chayshish. I think we're chayshish for Kavanah is an issue. We're also chayshish for Hefzik. We're chayshish for repetition. And therefore there might be Zilzulim there and the like. But you want to tie to maybe your chayshish for Taruvus of Nashim and Kolisha, and that's an interesting svar that that would upgrade it to Devarim Shebektusha. Maybe such a mahalach, but I have to see. The problem is, I think Rosh Shlomo Zalman, see, according to your Lamedus, Rosh Shlomo Zalman should be the one that says you don't use Shem Hashem, because that's why he says it's not. But I believe I believe he says you can use Shem Hashem. And Afilu Hachi, he says it's not Devarim, doesn't have general Devarim Shabbat Dusha.
There's two women singing, is that better?
The Pashtus not, because the idea of Trei Koli Lo Mishtame might mean if men and women are singing, so you don't identify the female voice so much. If two women are singing, so there is the female voice.
You didn't hear a specific female voice.
Some are making. You know, here's what the modern Orthodox community uses all the time. But I'll give you an example of how things slippery slope in action. The famous Meisha, again, this is not our topic tonight, but okay, we'll go back to it. So I'm going to have to finish Hilchos Ishos next week. But the famous psukim on the leniencies of Kolisha is the Shri Deyesh. Shri Deyesh is a fascinating, fascinating person, a great Gadol B'Torah, Shlomo Yaakov Weinberg, who was nifter in the 1960s, a Talmud of the Altar of Slobodka, together with Rav Aaron, you know, an older Talmud, older than Rav Aaron. But then he went to Berlin and he got a PhD and he became the head of the Berlin Rabbinical Seminary. So he was really, he lived in the worlds of Mada and Torah and he really bridged all of these different worlds. In fact, did I tell you the Maisa of his Levaya? Did I tell you that? I told you that already, okay. I won't repeat it. But be as it may, when he lived in Germany for many, many years, and Germany was almost totally nechra by the Reform Movement. And when they began to rebuild after from Schimpfenfeld Hirsch onwards, they had youth groups that were similar to NCSY in America. Very similar to NCSY. It was before there was NCSY. And these youth groups were largely kids from assimilated families, Reform families, secular families. And the boys and girls would get together and they'd have coeducational activities, including Shabbos Semiras. And this was called Ezra. Ezra was the name of this youth group. And the Rabbanim, or the Mechanchim who ran Ezra, asked Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, are we permitted to have boys and girls singing Semiras? These are teenagers. So he mottered it. But again, there was a lot of Esas Lesh Lashem, and he was Seimech Antre Koli Lo Mishtami, etc. Now,
men and women together.
Men and women together. Yeah, men and women together.
Just women.
No, men and women together. Yeah. But it's clear from the Tshuva that he, number one, he really didn't like it. But he said, Esas Lesh Lashem, we have to be Mechapes Esas to bring people to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, I just want to say, yeah, I'll be finished. Give me 30 seconds. Flip forward 60 years in the future. Modern Orthodox Day School wants to put on a play, Les Miserables, which is a play. And they want to have a choir, a Broadway play. They want to have boys and girls being able to sing together without violating Kolisha. So they decide, oh, for sure it's mutter, Shri Deyesh Matrix, men and women singing because of Trei Koli Lo Mishtami. Did the Shri Deyesh Matrix doing a Broadway play with boys and girls singing? I mean, obviously not. Obviously he was talking about a Kira V'chaikim, he was talking about a Shas HaTchak, he was talking about what was necessary to be Mekayim Torah in Germany when society was being devastated. So now you're taking that and you're saying, oh, we'll just have a play, boys and girls will be on a stage together and they will sing Broadway musical tunes. So you see, the Pirtz of the Chukah becomes a Pirtz of Gedolah. That is the history of Halacha in the United States. Okay. All right. So in England too. Okay. So next week again. Well, I'm going to go back to Aguna next week because a bit
Thank
of a.
You.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.